In other words, well, what happened is they were working so much they needed time off. We needed to do something, you know, because, you know, unlike, you know, not saying anything, you know, negative or anything, you know, the police and the fire, they were screening at the landfill, but they had people that came in and changed, you know. But us in sanitation, we were there day in and day out.
There was
We
no
had
one else.
nobody, there was nobody to pull from to, you know, so, I mean, eventually we had to, you know, give people off. So we had to slow down the operation a little bit just to let people, you know, for peace of mind,
Yeah.
you know, because it was just traumatic for everybody,
How
you know.
many days are we talking about that people would work before?
People would work 30, 60 days straight, you know, 12 hours a day or more.
No weekends.
No, straight through, straight through. So after a while, we tried to figure out how to give people off. You know, because you had to. You just couldn't have people working crazy. I mean, they're just peace of mind. You know, there was, you know, they had to do things. I mean, let's face it, after a certain amount of time, you have other obligations you got to take care of. So you do need time off. You know, I mean, we forced them to work in the beginning, but then we needed to give them time off. You know, so that worked. Yeah, I mean, but everybody worked very hard. I mean, they ended up, it was 9 months or 10 months or whatever, the whole project, it was all done. And one of the things that went on is we, you know, as a result of one of the means, we set up what's called marine transfer stations down at the site. There was two of them, one at Pier 6 and one at Pier 25 on the west side. And what would happen is the trucks from the site would deliver the material. On Pier 6 was steel. On Pier 25 was regular debris. And that would be loaded into barges by Weeks Marine. And then the barges would go out to Fresh Kills. So as time went on, when we got this all set up, below Canal Street, nobody saw a truck coming out of there. So like the world itself, by the time they got to see what was going on, all it was an empty hole. Because all of the trucks stayed within Canal Street. They were south of Canal Street. So it wasn't like trucks of this material was running through the city.
Yeah.
You know, we unloaded them onto barges and traveled them out to Fresh Kills. You know, so we set that up and that was good. I mean, the DEC never approved the permit for the transfer stations. And I always kidded the head of OEM, God rest his soul, he passed away recently, was that, you know, we'll share a jail cell because we went ahead and operated it anyway because you're in emergency, you know, and we couldn't wait for approvals from the state or wherever. So,
Yeah.
you know, we filled the paperwork out and we just operated. So, you know,
So
but
at that time, were people allowed below Canal Street? Or was
no,
the
people weren't allowed to, no. No, it's just that, you know, it's a function of trucks. You didn't need as many trucks. You know, the area was, I mean, the Trade Center is a confined area. It's a small area, really, when you think of it. You know, it's not a big area, so you don't want all of this equipment going in and out. And, you know, if you had trucks running from the site, like out of the city or whatever, you'd need a tremendous amount of trucks to maintain that production, you know. Whereas they were moving it less than a half a mile, like, you know, blocks, really. To Pier 25, they would dump it into these skid pans, and then the skid pans would fill the barges, and you put 600 tons in each barge. So roughly, you know, so then that would go out to Fresh Kills. So we went through like 1,400 barges or 2,000 barges, I think, during the course of the time, you know. But yeah, it's yeah, because ultimately what happened was 1.2 million tons went to Fresh Kills of stuff that was buried. And 200,000 tons of metal was sold from Ground Zero directly to the metal the recyclers. And 200,000 tons of metal was sold from the landfill to a metal recycler. So it's like 1.6 million tons overall. That
Wow.
came out, you know, and that was, and I keep stressing it is, and that's in addition to doing your normal job every day. You know, that never stopped, you know.
Yeah. So I mean, the department really kind of spared the site of that for everyone, really.
Yeah, I mean, it was through the meetings. You know, we came up and we recommended, like, the marine transfer stations, and that was a big plus because that kind of took a lot of focus away, like, that, you know, you'd be worrying. You know, when you expand your operation, you have different issues. Trucks running through the street, you know, how airtight are they, how it is it, you know, spilling or whatever. I mean, there would have been a multitude of other additional problems that probably went on. You know, we were fortunate that we came up. We had an area down there. It's right by Chambers Street that we could set this up, and we had Weeks Marine. They did an excellent job, and they had loaded the barges for us. You know, we took the barges. We transport them back and forth to Fishkills. You know, and this was in conjunction with the DDC, the Department of Design and Construction, because they had the contracts for the four private vendors that were on site, and they had to direct them to the barges and things like that. So it was, there was a tremendous amount of coordination going on.
So once the debris got to Fishkills, what had to happen with it?
Well, okay, when it came to Fishkills, we had a whole health and safety plan set up, and what's important in that is that, you know, you would, there was a lot of concern even down at Ground Zero, you know, the dust. So, you know, the health and safety plan we developed out in Fishkills, actually it was done by, let me think of the company, I'll get the company, but we designated certain areas where you need respirators, certain areas you wouldn't need it, so we labeled all of it. And if people, and we had the police there as opposed to sanitation, so, you know, if we found somebody in violation, we would throw them off the landfill. I mean, we were very strict on health and safety. We didn't want people breathing other things that they shouldn't have. The barges were unloaded into it was a three-sided concrete bin, for lack of a better term. If you saw a picture, you know what I mean. And then it was loaded onto pay haulers, which are these 80 cubic yard trucks. Okay, and the front end loader that loads them, this was equipment that we used to use to move regular garbage. That's a 20-yard bucket. So just to imagine a regular collection truck that you see in the street is 25 yards. So these actual buckets that just pick a scoop a bunch of material up at 20 yards. So they're massive, and mm-hmm. like you can't touch the top of the tire. I mean, this is all massive equipment. You know, it's like, I mean, you get in the bucket where you see like a little, you know, bulldozer bucket. Mm-hmm. I mean, you stand in these buckets, you can't touch the top of the bucket. You're like a little, you're like not nobody in there if I showed you a picture. And the pay haulers are 80 cubic yards. So you could put almost four garbage trucks in there. Wow. And operationally, we had to make changes as we went. You know, in the beginning, there was steel beams. So we took the tailgates off, which is the dump doors, so because they were getting caught up and things we did. So now, once you unload it on the pad, we brought it up top to the top of the landfill, which was a flat area. And It was flat because we didn't bring it to closure yet. You know, it's still, even today, it's not at final closure yet. They're working towards it. But it would be stockpiled up there. And what happened is we would take small amounts of it and we would spread it on the ground. And the police would go through and search it for any kind of, personal effects or, you know, personal items. And then as time went on, we coordinated. We coordinated and we got screen walls in that would screen the material with conveyors so that the police could be stationed on it and check and look for different things. And that's how we did it. We stockpiled all the stuff and then we fed all of these. We had screening operations everywhere up there. Then once it was all screened, they would go get landfilled to another section up there. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was all coordinated. We had to separate things like Building 7 had a special interest that any material from Building 7 we put in separate barges and we screened it separately.